Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Denise, I understand that the Master Gardener brand new class of volunteers has done, at least for the first class, right? They've done remarkably well. You've actually filled the class.
Yeah, we did. We have a really great group of volunteers this year signed up for the program themselves. They have a lot of great energy, a lot of different backgrounds and interests as we're getting to know each other as we go through this journey. So it's a really nice group that it's kind of gelling together, if you will, to complete the program. And I'm just really excited for them because I see them so enthusiastic about starting the class. So we're really excited to have them. And even if you missed your chance to become part of the 2015 Master Gardener class and you still want to learn more about gardening in El Paso, I encourage you to sign up for the El Paso Community College class. That's a wonderful class. It's all taught by Master Gardeners. It's a series of six different classes, 2 hours each Saturday, starting September the 12th. And you have a new instructor, a new certified master gardener at every class, and then you learn about gardening in El Paso. So it's taught by El Paso Master Gardeners for El Paso climate.
And I think a lot of people who maybe call in to our live show or who call into the Master Gardeners on their helpline, I think a lot of their questions would be answered by a lot of the topics that are going to be covered in these classes. You're going to cover soil improvement, turf grass, vegetables, herbs, container gardening, xeriscaping, fertilizer, pesticides, pretty much the things that concern most gardeners in El Paso, or even people who don't consider themselves gardeners. You know, they got a tree in the back. It's dying. What's wrong with it? You know, this is a class that I think everybody can benefit from, and it's a weekly class, again, from September 12th through October 17th. It takes place Saturdays at the EPCC Valle Verde campus. Tuition of $53, but it covers all the courses and all the materials, and hurry up and register early if you can. We have the information here at the radio station if you want to give us a call at 880-KTEP, and we also have the information on the Good to Grow page where we have a link where you can go to register for these classes. So we hope that people take advantage of the Master Gardener's knowledge in this respect.
Right, exactly.
Well, last time when we did the show, we were talking about September gardening tips, and we know that you guys are getting a lot of questions on the Master Gardener helpline, and we're going to talk about a few of those questions today. And one of them is, this is a little critter that I have seen on ash trees, and I think I still kind of see their effects on ash trees. And if you have an ash tree and you look towards the ends of the branches and you see that the leaves have sort of curled up, and if you were to sort of open up those leaves, you're going to find like little woolly little bugs in there. And those are woolly aphids, right? But you're seeing them somewhere that isn't an ash tree.
Right, exactly. We did have a person drop in a sample of a pine tree branch that did have the woolly aphids on there. And for most people, when you think about aphids, you think about the slimy, clear, almost yellowish tinge bugs that you see underneath your rose leaves. But yeah, these woolly aphids are actually woolly. They're covered.
They look fuzzy.
They do look fuzzy, and they look, you know, almost intimidating, if you will. Not to be confused with mealybugs that also kind of exude a kind of like a powdery covering over them. Those are in a completely different class of animals. But as far as the woolly aphids, you can certainly, when you spray them down, you'll see almost like a mesh of kind of glump of a spider web kind of looking material, kind of all clumping together. But they are effectively controlled by a broad spectrum pesticide, specifically for, you know, labeled for aphids.
Do they leave a little telltale shiny film like they do? Like if you see, like I see penstemons all the time that are affected by aphids, and you can kind of tell they're there because there's like this little shiny film that's kind of like aphid poo that they left behind.
Yeah, and that is actually called honeydew. As a matter of fact, that aphid excrement or
aphid poo.
Aphid poo, yeah. There you go. But yeah, definitely. Not so much on the woolly aphids, if you will. They don't really have all of that because of that protection that they're covered in, that material that they're covered in. But kind of keep an eye on that and see what's going on. And you can certainly either spray them off or put a long-lasting pesticide to be able to control those. Some people, I've seen a lot of, they have like a bush, and in this case, it was a rosemary bush that somebody brought in a sample to, and it says it looks like there's almost like spit balls mm-hmm. on them, and those are actually spittle bugs, and they don't do anything. They're not very harmful. They just kind of like just do their thing every now and then, really close to the end of the summertime, and I just recommend people just to ignore them. Like mm-hmm. if you can live with them, just ignore them. They'll be gone, you know, here in a few more weeks. But if you are going to use your rosemary or any other culinary herb with the spittle bugs on there, just go ahead and, you know, wash it off. It's yeah. no big deal.
Just like regular spit, just wash it.
Yeah, it's like spit balls on there.
Yeah, so. It looks kind of gross. It does yeah. really look like somebody just hawked one on your yeah. on your rosemary. Right. And I've got a rosemary bush, and I've seen a few.
Oh, it does that too?
No. Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if a spray of water on the bush might benefit it from just getting rid of that buildup. No.
Yeah, exactly. It could, but I mean, it just like I always like tell people like there's like a certain tolerance of mm-hmm. insects, you know, and you have to be somewhat tolerant of insects that are outside, you know, in your garden, because I mean, it's a fact that over 95% of insects in the world are not harmful. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not doing anything wrong.
If anything, they're beneficial.
Exactly. And on the contrary, they're just part of this entire bigger ecosystem, if you will. So there has to be that level of just to kind of ignore it, let it go until it starts actually, you know, cutting into your yields of its vegetables or something that's going to take a course of action to be able to remediate. But for me, it's always the opposite. Like, I don't want any bugs inside my house.
Inside, get out.
Exactly. Like, one is my threshold. Like, you know, it's got to be different in the outside.
You know, and speaking of bugs, we've had on the show before Salvador Vitanza, who's our favorite entomologist here on Good to Grow. And he actually has started a Facebook page, right, about El Paso bugs.
It is. And that's what it's called, El Paso bugs. And he is completely in tune to get all of his personal photographs that he has taken himself of insects in El Paso. And there's no other record or such a big directory of these photographs taken of bugs in El Paso. And he has it set up in a different way. You know, the Facebook page has a lot of the images on there, and it's just that information where you can be able to take that photograph with that identification and then learn more about it. So he does have a stamp and says where he's taken those photographs mm-hmm. as well. So, I mean, he's visited so many gardens, vegetable crops on ornamentals. He's gone to the wetlands and the bosque. And so he's taken a lot of different types of insect photographs. So we encourage you to check that out. It's a really great resource and one of its kind in El Paso.
Yeah, I'm going to say that there's quite a variety, just like how when you see, you know, if you live by the river, now the river has water, so you're seeing a lot of birds that are drawn to water. You're seeing a lot right. of ducks. You're seeing a lot of migrating long birds that look kind of like a heron, you know, and
right.
you're not going to find those on, you know, on the east side of town.
Right.
But so I'm assuming that there's that kind of variety also depending on the microclimates across El Paso.
Exactly. Yeah. He's found a lot of dragonflies and damselflies in the wetlands area as well, because he just gets so excited when it comes to bugs. So anyways, check that out. It's a really great resource.
Well, another question that you guys have been getting on the hotline have a lot to do with turf. And we've talked about turf before and how this is sort of the last time where you want to give a little bit of fertilizer to your lawn to help sort of carry it over through the upcoming dormant season. But people might have been seeing that weed and feed on the counters and are tempted to use that because maybe they're getting a lot of turf weeds.
Yeah, and their weed and feed products are very heavily labeled and pushed in the marketplace, but you have to really be concerned when you apply any kind of weed and feed material if you have any other broadleaf plant in your area. So a lot of times backyards will have a large shade tree, and then all underneath that is a carpet of lawn. Well, if you apply that weed and feed product onto your lawn, guess what's right underneath that lawn roots? It's going to be your tree roots, and that's going to be able to take up, and then you'll start seeing some herbicide effects happening because of the weed and feed product. So my general rule is to not do the combo products, but if you're trying to control the weeds, then you use an herbicide. If you're trying to feed your lawn, use another product. And then that way you don't have those cross effects or risks that you're going to take when you put that combo on there. So one of the best effects of reducing the weeds in your lawn is to also have a healthy grass. And, you know, and that's going to really outcompete those weeds that are going to try to invade. So I would really look into looking for a fertilizer to be able to start winterizing your grass, to be able to have a nice strong root system, and then that way that spring comes along, then you can certainly kind of be ahead of the game when it comes to the weeds that come in. And then of course when we talk about that, we got to talk about those early weeds pretty soon, mm-hmm. and then followed by the crabgrass and then all these other things, but really that's your best bet. It's just like anything else, you know, you have your best defense. If you're healthy, you're going to be able to ward off a lot of, you know, the common cold or things
That's
like
right.
that. So the healthier you are, the better. The same goes for your lawn.
And of course, you know, weeds are seasonal. Every season you get different types of weeds. And there are times of the year where you would apply a pre-emergent, which would, of course, not kill the existing weeds, but work on the weeds that haven't yet come up. They maybe have seeded into your lawn somehow and they're just waiting there for the right conditions. You know, maybe they were blown there by the windstorms. So those pre-emergents would come in handy at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And pre-emergents are real tricky to time, you know, mm-hmm. because they need to be applied right then when that weed seed is germinating. So it's really tricky to be able to gauge that.
And also, you know, just because you have a nice healthy turf doesn't mean that you're not going to get weeds. You are going to get weeds even sometimes when you've got a nice, thick, healthy lawn. You know, the ones that I've been seeing a lot are those bindweeds. Mm. And those will take over a plant before you know it. And so those are ones that they spread through the root system, right? So you might just want to pull one out, but there's more growing underneath that is going to pop up further out into your lawn.
Right, exactly. So that's really, you know, the biggest thing is to get them while they're still vegetative before they start setting seed. So once those seed head starts forming, I mean, that's going to also trigger another population, another generation of those weed seeds. And exactly, I mean, they can be just as aggressive, just as Bermuda grass is very aggressive with it grows with its stolons and then its runners and the rhizomes, you know, so the above ground stems and then the below ground roots. I mean, it's just like it wants to take over the world, you know, and sometimes we always say, well, it's hard to kind of grow grass, but then it grows so nicely on the cracks.
Yeah, that's
on the
right.
Sidewalks.
You know, I've always wondered why people who breed plants, why they can't like breed a weed gene into, you know, a nice plant so that plant will just stand every single kind of weather conditions, because it's so hard to kill a weed unless you like pull it out of the ground.
Right, exactly. It's very true. It's a constant battle, and it's that maintenance component to mm-hmm. all gardening.
Well, we're just about out of time, but before we wrap things up, we once again want to promote that Master Gardener Community College class that's open to the public. It takes place every Saturday at Valle Verde campus at EPCC beginning next Saturday, September 12th. So make sure that you register. Again, the information's on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And also really quickly, next week is going to be a nice farmer's market demonstration at the downtown farmer's market. Laura Borsch, one of the Master Gardeners here in town, is going to be doing a presentation on roses for fall. So I'm sure we're going to be talking about that here on the show really soon. But get your head start by heading out to that downtown farmers market next Saturday, September 12th. What time are those demonstrations?
From 10 a.m. to 12 noon.
And just check out all the other booths while you're there.
That's right.
Nice day at the farmers market. We want to thank you so much for listening today. We want to thank our engineers for today, Evan Walsh and Lauren Terrazas. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.